Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Mem Gimel. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 5 lines from the top of Daf Mem Gimel. Before we learn the Gemara, let's glance at the outside margin where we have a topic heading, the Nosei, where we have mentioned, or we have written, Shnei Lishonos BaGemara. We will see there are two versions of the following discussion in the Gemara. Pas Oy Yayin, whether it be bread or wine, ma boi hasava, which one of these requires reclining? The rak oz echod mevorech lekulam, and only once there is reclining amongst all of the participants, so then exemption can take place upon the benediction of one of the participants. Let us now see the Gemara. Heisevu echod. It said in the Mishnah that if they reclined, then one can say the bracha for the rest, and they will be exempted through his recitation. Omar Rav, the Roman numerals that you see to the side indicate these two lishonos. Lo shonu elo pas deboi hasova. Only bread requires reclining on the part of the participants in order to establish togetherness. Avol yayin lo boi hasova. Wine is on a, we'll say it, on a higher level that one can recite the bracha and thereby exempt the rest even without the need for reclining. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, afilu yayin nami boi hasava. Not only bread, but wine also does require hasava. So Rabbi Yochanan is more restrictive. Ika di amri, Omar Rav, lo shanu, elo pas, de mahanya le hasava. The second lashon has Rav saying that by bread, only by bread will hasava be effective. Avol yayin lo mahanya le hasava. This presentation of Rav takes wine to the other extreme, that even if there is hasava, even if there is reclining, one cannot make the bracha for the others and expect them to be yotzei. Rabbi Yochanan Amar afilu yayin nami mahanya le hasava. Wine as well as bread, the hasava is effective. So when you focus on Rabbi Yochanan, there doesn't seem to be a difference on a practical level between the two lishonos. In both lishonos, according to Rabbi Yochanan, bread and wine will require hasava. However, in the case of Rav, you see an extreme in the case of the wine. As far as the bread, Rav's version of bread, so in both versions, you will require hasava. So the real difference between the two lashonos is Rav's version of wine. In the first lashon, wine doesn't even require hasava. It's easy to exempt others with the recitation of one bracha, and one's, in other words, one person making the bracha and everyone fulfilling their requirement. And according to the second lashon, Rav's wine, so you won't find bracha recitation by one being effective at all to be motzi others. Continuing now in the Gemara, Meisvei. Gemara raises an objection by citing a Tanaic source, and then after the Tanaic source, you will note that the Gemara focuses on these two lishonos and shows how this source presents a problem for both of the lishonos. So As far as marking is concerned, we indicate here we have a long question, and that's indicated by the encircled kuf to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, following the dashed line all the way down. As you can see, all of this makes up the question. Meisvei, ketzad seder hasava. What is the order of a meal which entails reclining? Orchim nichnasin v'yoshven al gabi safsolin v'al gabi katedrois. The guests enter and they sit on benches or on stools or platforms, achi kansu kulam, until everyone has assembled. Heviu lahem mayim, then water is brought. Kol echad ve'echad noitel yodo achas, each one of the participants washes one hand. Bol lahem yayin, kol echad ve'echad mevorech li'atzmo, and wine is then brought to them, and each one makes their own bracha. This is a pre-meal experience. And the washing of the hands was in order, the washing of the single hand was in order to receive the cup of wine in a respectful fashion. And this is what Rashi, the Tosfos, says at the top. Kol echad noitel yodo achas mipnei kovod habracha. V'lodomi l'noitel yodo v'leperos. This is not to be parallel to one who washes hands for fruits, which the Chazal feel is reprehensible. Da'avi migase haruach. It's a demonstration of haughtiness. And why is this different? Kevon she'eno noitel shtei yodo. Because here you're not washing both hands. So you're not demonstrating some type of haughtiness, but as Tosfos says, the washing of the hand, the single hand, is in honor of the bracha that you're going to recite over the cup of wine. But we have to note, and we emphasize with a dash underline, mivorech li'atzmo. So here you have a situation where it's true they're not reclining, because you saw the expression here was each one is their nichnasim v'yoshvin, they're seated. So we have a situation of being seated, and one, as each one makes their own bracha. You don't have an attempt here for one to make the bracha for everyone else. That's a point just to bear in mind in light of the shitos we saw before. We're not spelling out the question yet, but we're giving the directions for that. Continuing in the Gemara, Olu v'hasevu, they then went up to where the meal is going to take place. Ubo lohem mayim, afapi she, and water is brought to them. Afapi she kol echad ve'echad nota yodo achas, even though they already washed each one their single hand, namely one hand. So chozer v'notel shtei yodov. Now each one washes both hands. This is a washing in anticipation of the meal. This is the washing that we are. Rashi says shitzurch lechol b'shteim. He's going to be using both hands for his eating, so he's washing both hands. Bo lohem yayin af al pi shekol echad ve'echad berach li'atzmo. Now they're served more wine. This is wine that's associated with the meal itself, as opposed to the pre-meal cocktail that was mentioned just before. Here, each one is served a cup of wine, and the source says that even though each one had already made a bracha on a personal basis, now echad mevorech lekulam, each one makes their own bracha. This, by the way, was part of a discussion during our last shiur, whether wine before the meal can be mosi the wine during the meal. So here we see, as far as the source itself, that it doesn't matter that they made the bracha on the wine before the meal. They need to make another bracha. However, the bracha is going to be recited by one person. And here, we want to point out that they are not sitting, but hasevu. We said, with our dashed underlining, we're trying to emphasize that factor here. So we have in the resha, each one making their own bracha, and the circumstances there that each one was seated. In the sefer, we have one bracha being made for everybody, and here they are reclining. So now the Gemara will raise its questions, and it's going to be focusing on Rav. The Gemara continues. Lehech lishna the Omar Rav, according to the first lashon of Rav that said lo shana lepas the boy hasava, that only bread requires hasava, aval yayin lo boy hasava. wine does not require hasava, that even with sitting and not actual reclining, one bracha could be made for everybody. Kashio resha. In the resha, you see, each one was mevorach li'atzmo, and they, in fact, were sitting. According to Rav, wine sitting, one makes for everybody. According to the resha of this source, you have wine and sitting, and not one bracha for everybody, but each one makes their own. That's a problem. So the Gemara answers on behalf of Rav, Shaini Orchim. Orchim are different. Tedatayu lemeaker. They are intending to get up, to leave. So since their intention is not to remain, but to leave, so they don't have any element of togetherness and unity. And therefore, the fact that they're sitting is not sufficient to create a sense of togetherness. Let us take a look at Rashi, who elaborates. Shiny Orchim, the Tatayu Lemeaker, Soifin Lemeaker, Velalus Lahosiv Mokamacher. They are going to be getting up from there, as the source itself indicated, and then going to be eating somewhere else. She'ein Zem Mokam Hamasiba. This isn't their place of, they're not gathered here to eat in this particular location. Ella Kan Yashvu, they're sitting here on a very temporary type basis. Achi Skansu Kola Kruim, until all the invitees arrive. The Derech Bali Bate Mashirim, the way that was customary for people of means, Hoyolizamein Lisudasim Orchmanim, they would invite indigent guests. That's why they're called by the term guests. They're in fact people of little means, and they are invited to the host who is a man of means. That which Rav said in the first lashon, that wine does not require reclining, but mere sitting is enough to create the unity. Shelo b'shas su'udo ka'omar. He said that in a non-meal context, in other words, in drinking wine in isolation, in an isolated group wine drinking assembly, or alternatively, Rav's din of wine, one bracha while sitting is enough, is when they are at a meal, at the time of the meal and at a meal, but not this case where it's not, they're not at the meal, and they are not gathered here specifically just for wine. That two strikes against this scenario of the Orchim, therefore even Rav will concede that the sitting is not enough. Continuing in the Gemara, Ulahach Lishna. Diyama Rav lo shano ela pas de mahanya lehasava. According to the second lashon that said only by bread does hasava work, so avol yayin lo mahanya lehasava, but for a wine hasava doesn't even work. So kashya seifa. The Seifa presents a problem. Insofar as in the Seifa it said, Echod Mevorech Lekulam. That one can make the bracha for everyone, and in fact there was Hasava, but Rav's second Lashon said that Hasava won't work. Shiny Hasam, so the case here is different. Demigu deko mahanya lehasava lepas mahanya lehasava liayin. Since the hasava in the meal situation will work for the bread, namely one person will make the bracha for the bread and everyone else will be yotze, so hasava will work also for the wine. However, if it wasn't a wine situation, if it wasn't a meal situation, according to the second Lashon of Rav, if it was just a drinking of wine in isolation, meaning not part of a meal, then the second Lashon of Rav will tell you that even if there's Hasava it won't work to unify a group of people gathered together for wine drinking. The Gemara continues. Bon lohem yayin besoch hamazayin. Shalu es ben zoyma. Mipnei ma omru, bon lohem yayin besoch hamazayin, kol echod vechod mevorech liatzmo, liachar hamazayin echod mevorech lekulam. Why this distinction? Specifically, why in the middle of the meal will one bracha not be effective in exempting everyone else? Why does each one have to make their own bracha? So Omar Lahem, Ben Zoma answers, Hoyul the Ein Beis Habliya Ponui. In the middle of the meal, Beis Habliya is the part of the throat where one swallows. So since one is preoccupied or focused on his eating and his swallowing, they don't pay attention to the one who is making the bracha. So that's why you can't expect one person to make the bracha and through that exempt the others. They're not concentrating on what he is saying. V'hu Omer al Hamugbar. This was in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah described after the meal, when they want to drink wine, so one person makes the bracha for everybody. And then what happens sequentially, Birchas HaMazon is then recited, and after that, incense is brought out, spices that are put on fire, it's called Mugmar, and everyone enjoys that, benefits from that, and at that point, a bracha is recited. Once again, one bracha is recited over the spices and or the incense, and everyone is yotze. Who makes that bracha? It's the same person that made the bracha on the wine before at the end of the meal, before the Birchas HaMazon. The Gemara feels that you can infer from the language of the Mishnah that midiktonik behu omer al hamugmar, that he is the one who said the bracha for the wine, he is the one that's going to say the bracha for the mugmar. Mechlal deika odif mine. It implies that there might be someone more honorable over there in that particular group, but he is the one that is going to say the bracha, the one who said the bracha over the wine. Mesaya le l'rav. Yomar b'chiyah barashi yomar rav. This supports Rav's teaching that said hanoitel yodov tchila b'achroino hu mezumon l'bracha. That in the washing of the netilas yadayim, the mayim achronim at the end of the meal, the one who is the first to do the netilas the mayim achronim, so he is the one that is appointed to lead in the benching. The parallel that you see here is that just like in the case of the wine and the mugmar, the one who started the mitzvah of making a bracha, he continues. This supports Rav, who says the one who started the mitzvah of mayim achroinim, he is the one that continues with the mitzvah of leading the Birchas HaMazon. We continue in the Gemara. Rav v'Rebbi Chia, havu yasvi kamei d'Rebbi b'sudasa. There was a meal, and these great Rabbonim were together, Rav, Reb Chia, and Rebbe. Amalei Rebbe l'Rav. Rebbe turns to Rav and says, Kumashi yodach, wash your hands. Chazia dahave mirtas. Reb Chia, who was happened to be Rav's uncle, noticed that Rav all of a sudden was overcome with fear, with trepidation. Rashi explains that Rav didn't understand Rebbe's request, wash your hands. He thought that maybe Rebbe was saying your hands are dirty, or you're taking too long to eat and we got to get on with other things, so wash your hands, and we're talking about Birchas HaMazon time. So Rav was overcome with fear. Amar lei Rebbe Chia. Rebbe Chia, recognizing this, says to Rav, Bar Pachti, son of great men. It's a complimentary expression. Ayin bebirchas mezoina komalach. What Rebbe is saying is he wants you to lead in the birchas hamazon. So he's giving you rishus, he's appointing, he's giving you the honor of leading the benching. And as we pointed out before, the one who washes his hands first for of netilas yadayim of mayim achronim, he is the one to lead in the benching. Without getting into details of mayim achronim, because this will be dealt with in the next perek a little more, but it should be pointed out that Rashi on daf mem vav omid beis mentions that when we say the first one to do the mayim achronim, assuming that you have a group of five or less people. If you have a larger group, so then the rule is the first one of the last five to wash their hands. In other words, the fifth person from the end to wash his hands of Mayim Achronim, he leads the benching. The Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rova Bar Yirmiya, Meim Osai Mevorchen Al Oreach. Here we're turning to the topic of Birchas Oreach. And the Gemara will deal with questions of the deal with the issue of from what point do you make the bracha on the fine incense or the fine smell aroma, and a second issue will be different brachos over aromatic substances. So Rabbi Zera quotes Rava Bar Yirmiya, says, Me'emosai mevorchen al orech, from what point does one make the bracha on the mugmar? And as we said before, mugmar was a case where you would have some coals and hot coals and place upon it different substances that when they would burn, so they would release a pleasant aroma. So the Gemara answers, you know what? You meshitale timrosai. When the smoke rises. Amale Rabbi Zera l'rova bar Yirmiya. V'holo ko orach. He didn't benefit yet. In other words, you're telling me that we make the bracha when the smoke rises, but I didn't enjoy it yet. Amale, so Rava answers, v'litamech. According to you that are questioning my psak of Mishitala Tumraso on the basis of you're not having benefited yet, Hamotzi lechem in oretz demavorach, people make a brocha over a piece of bread. Folo'ocha, when you make the brocha, did you eat yet? No, you didn't eat yet. Eladaite v'mecha, your intention is to eat from it. Hachanami daite la'ruche, so to over here, your intention is to smell it, to inhale, and therefore, at the point that the smoke rises, it now becomes ready to benefit from. So this is an appropriate time to make the bracha. This type of Gemara leaves room for a question. It would the answer that Rava gave would seem fairly obvious, that you make the bracha before you benefit from it, and wouldn't Rabbi Zera have known that? So if I may just act out of, let's say, departure from our regular presentation of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi, where we try not to say things of original nature, but I'm going to suggest a hesber for what may have been bothering Rabbi Zera, and that is that based on a Gemara later on, and the Gemara later on points out that albeit we make a bracha over aromatic pleasure, but aromatic pleasure is the least concrete of pleasures. It's not like eating or drinking, where there's a greater bodily enjoyment of it. The sense of reach is a very rather fleeting type of enjoyment. To the extent that we see elsewhere in the Gemara that there's no brocha achroina over this type of pleasure, as opposed to all other, as opposed to eating and drinking bodily pleasures, where one does have the need for a brocha achrona, a final brocha. So as a result of that, it could be that Rabbi Zera was bothered by the qualitative difference in pleasure levels. And therefore, true that you make a bracha before you benefit from something, but that's only in anticipation of a benefit that you have substantive bodily pleasure from. Whereas the aromatic pleasure that one derives being less substantive, maybe the standard should be different. And that might explain what was bothering Rabbi Zera. What Rava is answering is basically saying that, true, there might be some kind of qualitative difference, but that's not enough reason for changing the standard of bracha recitation prior to the benefit. Turning back to the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Chiyo Breda Abba Bar Nachmeni Omar Rav Chista. Omar Rav, the Amri Law, another version name-wise, Omar Rav Chista, Omar Ziri. Kol ha-mugmorois, mugmorois is the plural form of mugmor, mevorchem alehen, boirei atse besomem. This is the bracha for the smoke that one will inhale from mugmorois, atse besomem, chutz mimoshk, with the exception of Moshk. Marking wise, you see a diamond here, and these diamonds will continue till Amud Beis, and under our structural note, the Mivneh, we're attempting to highlight with this marking Minim Shonim, different kinds of spices and fragrances that will be mentioned. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Mevorchim Alein and Borei Atse Besomim, the Afopi Shin Nisraf, the Eino Be'ein. Even though the substance has been burnt and it's not extant anymore, elashat timur oila, all that you have is the smoke that's rising. Nevertheless, you make this bracha of atse besamim, literally the fragrant wood. So Rashi is saying a chiddush here, that even though the wood is not extant anymore, it's just the smoke that you have from it, you make this bracha. If I may, to appreciate this comment of Rashi that the wood is not bein, it's just the smoke, there are two details here. Is it really true that the wood is not here at all? Isn't the wood burning right now? So it could be that Rashi is saying that the wood may be burning, but you're not smelling the wood. You're not putting your nose to the wood. You're at quite a distance from it, to the extent that you wouldn't be able to even perceive an aroma from the wood. So as far as you are concerned, it's not bein. It's not around anymore. It's burnt. And though what we're saying, one pshat here is that it still is around, but you're not benefiting from it. You're benefiting from the smoke sitting at a distance from it. So that is a chiddush. And even so, you make the bracha of atzei besomim. There's another possibility, based on a gemara, if I'm not mistaken, in Maseches Beitza, but the source might be somewhere else. There was a description of a device that had a device or a vessel that had. Had holes in it, but it could be sealed. The holes could be sealed, and it was designed for spreading aroma. In other words, they would burn inside of this vessel some aromatic substance. The smoke would accumulate in this particular vessel, and after the substance may have been actually burnt up, it's not around anymore, literally not around, the smoke that accumulated in there is retained within the sealed vessel. And afterwards, the holes are then exposed, the covering is removed, and the fragrance spreads through the area. So if we're describing a case like that, that particular type of vessel that was sealed when it was sealed, in other words, enabling the smoke to accumulate, obviously would need some level of oxygen there, but the wood was completely burnt and there is no wood left, and all that you're benefiting from is the smoke that's being released now. So that would make this Rashi even more understandable on its literal level, that the wood is simply not around. The reason we're delaying on this point is because the issue of the original item being extant or not is significant in the realm of Birchas Brochas on Reach. The Tosis also says, it seems to explain like Rashi, Kol ha-megmos mevorach aleihem borei atzei b'samim, af-al-pi shenisrafu v'ein atzei b'samim b'en. Even though the original substance has been burnt, the wood has been burnt, and it's the atzei b'samim are not around anymore, nevertheless, the brocha is able to reflect the origin of the pleasant smell, the atzei b'samim. So this is true except for mushk. And why is that? Shemin chayo hu. The word shemin, without a yud in it, it means it comes from a chaya. It originates not as wood, but it's from an animal. And Rashi, as far as mushk is concerned, he gives a French word for it. And Rashi's pshat is that it comes from the feces of an animal, a particular animal. So therefore, we make a bracha of borei minei besamim. I've seen a different girsa where the Gemara has, where it's explained with a yud in it, and this you can see in the Ritva. He says, I'm just going to read from the Ritva, chutz mimush, gam belaz kein shmo. The Ritva points out that in foreign languages, whatever language the Ritva was familiar with, it's called that. It, by the way, in English there is something that's fragrant that's called musk, very similar to the word we have in our Gemara. And here the Ritva says v'hu mimin chayahu. And the text of the Ritva that I am looking at is from the Ritva from the Moisir HaRav Kuk, and he has v'hu mimin with a yud in it. It's from a type of animal. And then the Ritva goes on to say yesh omrim shu zeas hachaya, v'yesh omrim she chaya yoduahu hi sheyesh lo chatoteres betzavor l'shom miskabeitz mitchilo ke'en dam v'achat nase mushk. He explains that it could come from the it's a substance coming from the sweat of the animal. Some explain that it's from this is an animal that has a hump near its neck, and there is an accumulation of fluid in there, something like blood, that eventually is made into this mushk or musk substance. So there you have a few different angles to this particular substance, but one thing is very clear, and that is it does not come from wood. Hence the bracha is borei minei besamim. The blessed be the Almighty that created different types of spices. The Gemara continues with a question. Meisvei, ein mevorchem borei atzei besamim elo al afar simon shel beis rebi v'al afar simon shel beis kesar v'al hahadas shebechol mokim. The bracha of atzei besamim is not to be recited on anything other than these items that are mentioned. The three items mentioned, there's the Afar Simon of Beis Rebbe. It should be noted, though, that Afar Simon is the, and Rashi emphasizes this, Sha'etz Atzmo Balafonenu, the wood itself is coming to us. In other words, we're benefiting from the aroma of the wood itself. Not wood that's burning and our benefit from the smoke therefrom, but rather the wood itself. And you have here three examples of that. And v'ahada shebechol mokoyim, Rashi adds here, v'adin l'chol ha'doymu lahem. Even though the source sounds very restrictive, it says only on these things, but Rashi expands and says it applies to all things similar to this. The main thing is that the aroma is emitted or perceived from the wood itself. Beloy Srefa, Rashi says. Elo the Hadas Shchiach, the reason that the source used Hadas, the myrtle branch, as an example, because that's very common. The nature of the sages is to speak using common type examples. Umugmor lo mevorchinon elo borei minei besamim. As far as mugmor is concerned, you would make borei minei besamim and not the brocha that was suggested by Rav, or Rav Chisda Amar Rav, or Rav Chisda Amar Ziri, that you would have said Atzei Besamim. So the Gemara says Tiyufta. This would appear to be a repudiation of Rav Chisda's suggestion. Omar Le, Rav Chisda, Le Rav Yitzchak, Hai Mashcha de Farsamoin, Mai Mevorchin Iluya. This is oil that is produced from a farsimon. What bracha do you make on this fragrant oil? Omar Le, Hochi Omar Rav Yehuda. We emphasize Rav Yehuda's name with an underline. He says, Borei Shemen Artsenu. The Rashi says Shemen Artsenu means it's the oil of our land. Shegodu biYericho. This afarsimon grew in the town of Yericho. The Al Shem Horeach Oisa Nikres Yericho. The name Yericho, you can see the root of that name is Reish Yud Ches Reach, and it got its name because of this afarsimon. Vehu Panag Omor B'Sefer Yecheskel. Yehuda Beretz Yisrael Hemo Rochlayach Bechitei Minis Ufanag, etc. Kach Rishi B'Sefer Yosef Ben Gurion, Rashi cites his source for Panag being a farsimon from that piece of work called Yosef Ben Gurion, the author of his work. The Gemara continues, after Rav Chisda heard this response from Reb Yitzchak, Omar Le, Rav Chisda responds and says, Bar Minei de Reb Yehuda, with the exception of Reb Yehuda. In other words, you're citing to me the text that Reb Yehuda suggests, but we can't rely on him. De Chaviv Olei Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yehuda had an exceptional love of Eretz Yisrael, and as a result of that, any opportunity had to associate something with Eretz Yisrael, so he would do that. Lekuli Almo Mai. What about the rank and file of people who may have respect for Eretz Yisrael but aren't so overwhelmed and overcome with its with their affinity for it? What should the text be? In Rav Yehuda's text, he emphasized the word Artsenu, in other words, the Shemen of our land, in an attempt to associate something pleasant with Eretz Yisrael. But what about for the rest of us? Omale Hochiom Rav Yochanan. The bracha should be Borei Shemen Orev, the one who, blessed be the Almighty, who created pleasant smelling oils. It would draw or demand of us a somewhat overextended amount of time to delve into the fascinating interplay you have here by way of names and their brachas. It's just on the tip of the iceberg here is one might want to note, and we have a reference in our Gemara markings to look back at Chof Dalam and Beis. Rav Yehuda was one who objected leaving Bovel for the sake of going to Eretz Yisrael. One thing must be made very clear, and you can see from this Gemara here that it's not because Rav Yehuda had some type of antipathy toward Eretz Yisrael, chas v'shalom. Quite the contrary, he was an extreme, loving of Eretz Yisrael, to the extent that he doesn't represent the common level of attachment. His reason for not allowing departure from Bovel to Eretz Yisrael is based on scriptural references, but it has nothing to do with some type of antipathy toward Eretz Yisrael. And in this Gemara, it's very interesting to note that Rabbi Yochanan is the one sought to offer a text for the bracha, and Rabbi Yochanan of all the Amoraim was known as the leading sage of his time of Eretz Yisrael. In fact, he was we saw in the Marsha in the first parak that he was a descendant from the families of Yerushalayim. And he was in Maseches Kiddushin, the question was posed, what about, is one allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael? And you can see his hesitancy and objection to leaving Eretz Yisrael, without getting into details, a very broad topic. But as I say here, the interplay is very interesting, that Rav Yehuda is the one cited here as being Chaviv Olei Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Yochanan, in order to offer an alternative bracha, it is Rabbi Yochanan's text that is sought. Continuing in the Gemara, we have triangles that appear, and on the side, under our Mivneh heading, De'ois be'inyin kusht v'shemen shebo tomun ha-kusht. Omar Rav Ava Barava, Hai Kasharsa. The Rashi explains this word, Kasharsa, is kosht. So on this one makes Mevorchen Oloya Borei Atse Besamim. The term kosht may be familiar as one of the spices that you find in the preparation of the Beis HaMikdash, Ktores, that's featured in the passage that we know as Pitum HaKtores, which is also found in the Maseches Krisus. So on Kosht, you make the bracha of Borei Atze Besamim. Avol Mashcha Kevisha Loi. But if one had taken Kosht preserved it in oil. Kvisha literally is an expression referring to pickling something. It's a case where you take some solid item and leave it in a liquid environment for a long period of time. It's just that here we're not going to use the term pickling the kosht, but it's a shemen, an oil environment in which the kosht is left to soak and the oil absorbs the kosht aroma. Rashi says, Mashcha kvisho, shemen shebo tomun ha-kosht, v'shemen riach min ha-boisem shebesoichoi. The oil then will emit the aroma that it absorbed from the kosht. So regarding that, you don't make a brocha. That's what the Gemara would say. And Rashi on this says, Hoyo v'ein nira li'einenu elo ha-shemen. All you see is the oil. You don't see the original, the substance that created the that imparted the scent into the oil. Now, this is one of the reasons why we delayed and spent time on the topic before with the mugmar and the smoke and the issue of atzei besamim. So here you see this idea that where the original substance is not around, so that removes the need for a bracha. However, that's Rav Ado's opinion. Rav Kahana Omar Afilu Mashva Kavisha. That even on the Mashva Kavisha, there will be the need for a bracha. What the text of the bracha is not spelled out over here. This gets us back into the problem mentioned before of the bracha on the Mugmar, which granted you don't make Atzei Besamim, you won't make the original bracha, but there would be a Borei Minei Besamim recited. The issue is, as I say, in the Gemara here, it's not spelled out, so all we're going to say is that as far as he is concerned, you're certainly not going to be making the Atzei Besamim. That's according to Rav Adam. Rav Kahana says, Afilu Mashkevisha, you will make a bracha. We're not committing ourselves to what the text of the bracha is. Avo Mashcha Tchina Loi. However, Mashcha Tchina, no. Now, what is Mashcha Tchina? So the Rashi says, Mashcha Tchina Shetochanu Bo Kasharsa. It's oil into which ground Kasharsa Kosht was put. So that this, the difference here is that in the Mashcha Kevisha, the Kosht remained intact. So that is considered a higher level where the original substance remained intact. But here, the original substance is ground down. Nardoi Amri Afilu Mashcha Tchina. Nardoi says that even on the Mashcha Tchina, a bracha will be recited. The Gemara continues on Amid Beis. We'll see here more diamonds, more aromatic substances. Amr of Gidol Amarav, Hai Similak, Samlak, however it's pronounced, Mivorchin Aleya Aluya Borei Atse Besamim. Rashi at the top says, Samlak is Yasmin Korin lo b'loshen Yishmael. Sounds very similar to the English expression Jasmine. And Yasmin is an Arabic word. V'hu min esev sheyesh bo sholosh shurah shel olin zu l'mala mizu v'sholosh olin l'chol shurah. And it's a type of esev. Now, the term esev means a grass. That is a that's an expression that needs further explanation, because the bracha that the Gemara suggests is atzei b'salma. Atzei is a reference to trees. So there is some elaboration on this topic, on this question, in the Sefer Shita Mekubetzis on brachas from the author of that work was Rav Yonason Steif Zatzal. On page Reish Pei Ches, one can find a discussion about that. The Gemara continues. Omar Rav Chanan, Omar Rav Hai, Hani Chufi Diyamo, Mevorchen Alayu, Borei Atzei Besomim. Rashi says, Chufi Diyamo, Boisem Shikoren Ashbig, Vihi, Vihu Shiboilis Nerd. Again, a substance that's part of the Ktores. The Osui Kain Givoli Pishton, and it appears like stalks, flax stalks. Now, here the Gemara is very interested in, the Gemara will be interested, here we're describing the Chufei Diyamo, which is made from a type of, let's say, cane stalk growth, of flax stalks or flax canes, and you're making a brocha of the Atzei B'Samim, which Atzei means trees, like the word Eitz, Eitzim. So the Gemara goes on, Amar Marzutra, my craw, what is the pasuk that would indicate that give oilin, these stalks or stalks, flax stalks, are associated with eitz, with a tree? So here the Gemara is, as we say, interested in the relationship between the item and the text of the bracha. So the Gemara answers, there is a source for that, and this is in the book of Yoshua, where Rochav HaZoyna hid the spies that Yehoshua sent to Eretz Yisrael. And it says there, V'hi he'olsom ha'goga, she put them up on her roof, v'titmenein b'pishtei ha'etz. You see here the word pishti, and as we mentioned before, that the Chilfi Diyamo was from pishton. Without the Rashi, this Gemara would be very hard to understand, but there it was, Pishtei ha'etz. So you see the word etz is associated with pishton, and hence the Chufa Diyama, which is pishton related, gets the bracha of Atzei B'Samim. The Gemara continues, Hai Narkoim. Now Narkoim is, Rashi says, Chavatzelis Hasharon, a type of plant, and it depends, though there's Aleph and Beis, you can see in our markings. So Narkum de Ganunisa, the garden variety of Narkum, Mevorchon Alibori Atzei Besomim. The Dabro, there's a desert type of, or Dabro could be desert or fields. Dabro fields is, in other words, it seems to be like an uncultivated, a wild growing Narkum. There you make Borei Isbei Besomim. The word Esev is incorporated in the text of the bracha, Esev being something that's not a tree, but rather a grassy growth. Omar of Sheshes, Hani Sigli, Mevorchen Alayu, Borei Isvei Besamim. Rashi, consistent throughout this sugya, is giving words, French translations, and if one wants to research the issue of translations further, so one would use the Rashi as a jumping-off point to come to something maybe more familiar to us. But as we've said in the past, the Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shirim, do not attempt to offer translations to plants and animals other than those that are very common and part of an extended tradition. The Gemara continues, Omar Marzutra, Hai Man Demorach Be'esroiga O Bechavusha, one who smells, these are fruits, Esrog is familiar to most of us, and the Chavusha is translated as a quince. It's aromatic. So whatever the case is, for our purposes, you have an Esrog or a Chavush, Omer Boruch Shenosan Reach Tov Peperos, blessed be the Almighty who imparted a pleasant smell to fruits. Continuing in the spirit of fruits, Amar of Yudah, Haiman de Nofik Biyomin Nisan, the Chazi Ilni de Kamal Avavli, if one who goes outdoors in the spring season, particularly in the days of Nisan, the month of Nisan, and the month of Nisan is not necessarily restricted literally to that month, but will certainly, it's accurate to say the month of Nisan, but it might be even more inclusive. It's a time when the fruit trees are starting to blossom. And he sees this. He sees v'chazi ilni de komalavli. He sees the fruit trees starting to blossom. Omer baruch shelo. There is a bracha to be recited over this, and the text is as follows. The Gemara has it. We have it in quotation marks. It's about the two lines. Baruch shelo chiser b'lamo klum. Blessed be the Almighty who has not. There is nothing missing from his world. Ubara b'brius tevis ilanus tevis. And who created wonderful creatures and trees for the benefit of mankind. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new marking, a double underline, and under our Mivneh heading, we indicate Sidra Shel Meimro Shel Rav Zutra Binyanim Shonim, a series of comments made by Rav Zutra. Omar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvi Omar Rav, Minayin Shem Mevorchan Al Erech, what is the source for making a bracha over aroma? As far as, if one were to ask, what's the source for making a bracha over food, so this was a topic dealt with in the beginning of this perek. It's true that the Gemara finally came down to the point that it's a svora, but don't forget that was used in because we weren't successful in learning and in having other items serve as a precedent. But the concept of making brachas over food has, in theory, let us say, without committing ourselves, it has in theory other psukim that can serve as sources for that. The most basic pasuk is v'ochalta v'savoto v'rachto. True, it's a mocker for birchas hamazon, but we saw that that could be one could learn from that to even brachas beforehand. But what about something that's not food? From where do we know that you would make a bracha on reach? And once again, like we said earlier in today's shiur, it's not necessarily the same svora that was applied to food. Once again, one could say for something where you have a real real pleasure, like the eating pleasure, bodily pleasure, so that the svora, your logic tells you make a bracha. But something like the benefit from aroma, for example, if a person enjoys a hot shower, no bracha is recited over that, even though one is benefiting from it. So the fact that there's mere benefit in and of itself is not a svora for making a bracha, because otherwise you would want to have you'd make a bracha over in a very enjoyable hot shower. So When we say that there's a svora for making a bracha on food, that's because of the nature of the pleasure that one has from eating. Other types of pleasure are not, you can't necessarily associate or relate that to the pleasure of achila. Therefore, there's a need for asking this question: what is the source for a bracha over reach? So the Gemara answers, Shneamar kol hanishama tehalel ka. Eza dover shanishama nes mimenu veina gufne nemenu. What is something that the soul enjoys and the body does not? So we're talking about a rather ephemeral, transient type benefit that is not considered the. It's true that the nerves in the olfactory part of one's anatomy associated with the brain are picking up on these on the pleasure. So there's on a physiological level there's some element of goof. But this is in contrast. This comment of the Gemara is in contrast with the pleasure derived from food. So the Gemara is asking, what is that kind of pleasure that the neshama, that the spirit enjoys, and not the goof? Haviomer ze horeach, and that's what the pasuk is saying, that the neshama shall say praise to Hashem. Hence, this would serve as a source for a bracha, the praise that one says over benefiting from pleasant aroma. V'yomarav zutra bar tuv yomarav asidim b'chure Yisrael shi'itnu reach tov kat livonon. In the future, the young men of Israel will produce a fine aroma like the Livanon. Shenemar Yehu Yonkosov are the sucklings or the young people. Vayi Kizais Odo Vareach Lo Kalivanon. V'yomar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Omarav. May Dichtiv Esakol Osa Yofa Beitoi. What is behind this pasuk that everything Hashem made nice and good in its time? The Kosh Baruch Hu made a world in such a way that everyone enjoys their particular profession or their occupation. And this means even someone who, let us say, is involved with a rather malodor type occupation, for example, the preparation of leather, the tanning profession. There's a very foul odor that is perceived during that process, and yet people are engaged in preparing leather and prepare very fine leather products, even though it's something that one would think that you would be repelled from pursuing such an occupation. Well, that's a function of what we're saying right here in the Gemara, that everyone enjoys what he is doing, or potentially could enjoy what he is doing. In other words, not everything is for everyone, but everything will find someone for it. Omar of Papa Hainu Damri, and she, it's from this that there's a common saying, Tola le kura le dover acher, the iu di day of it. Kura is the soft part of the palm tree. We've had this earlier in this parak. We discussed the bracha of kura, the fresh sprouts coming from a palm tree that eventually turn into its branches. And it appears that it's probably a delicacy. And here, the common saying is you take the kura, which is we'll call it a delicacy, and hang it around the neck of a dover acher. The chazal, often they'll use the expression dover acher, and they're really referring to a pig. But they don't like to make an explicit reference to that particular creature, and they call it a dover acher. So you hang a kura around the neck of a dover acher, and it will do its thing with it. Namely, it'll swim. It'll turn around and swim in mud with it, indicating that everyone does his own thing. V'omar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Omar Rav, Avuka Kishnayim V'yoreach Kishlosha. Now, this has to do with the topic of Al Yetzei Adam Yechidah B'Laila. Rashi quotes that a person should not go out at night by himself. So, okay, don't go out by yourself. However, with a torch, an avuka is a torch, so you're not by yourself, you're not considered by yourself. You're not, this issue of Yechidi Belaila won't apply. And maybe just the background to Hayitzam Yechidi Belaila, amongst other things, and there's more on this than what we're going to say right now, but you'll see shortly in the Gemara, demons are likely to attack a person who is by himself. However, if the individual is with a torch, so it says in this Gemara, Avuka Kishnayim, V'yoreach Kishlosha. The moon might even very well be a full moon, contrary to other cultures that have a certain antipathy toward the moon, and particularly the full moon. Here, the moon is considered like three. Ibayalaho, the Gemara asks, regarding these numbers, Avuka Kishnayim, when we say that the torch is like two, is that Bahadididay? Is that including the person holding the torch, meaning the torch really represents an addition of one? So you have the person is one, and the torch is one and one is two. Oy Dilma, Avuka Kishnayim, Labarmididay. Or, when we say the torch is like two, does that mean it's two besides the individual? So, if with him holding the torch, you've got the equivalent number-wise, figuratively, you've got three. Toshma, we will now answer that. Amongst the numbers, we were presented with Yorech Kishlosha, the moon is like three. Iyamers Bishlamo Behadi Didei Shapir. If you say that the three is a number including the individual, namely the moon is two plus the individual, sum total of three, then things are fine. Eliyamers Labarmi Didei. If you say, however, the moon three issue is three besides the individual, and hence you would have a total of four, then Loma Li Arba O Loma Li. Why would there be why would there be significance in having four? In other words, our goal, as the Gemara says, is to repel the demons. And once you've got three, they don't even show up. So it must be that the numbers are inclusive of the person concerned. So the Gemara answers. Elaborates on this question. Arbo lomali, why would you need to have four? Vomamar li echod nire umazik. The demon will appear. If there's one person, he'll appear and actually render damage. Lishnayim, if there are two, nire vieno mazik. He might appear, but he won't render damage. By the way, for those who have reviewed or are blessed with a great memory, you'll remember that this was mentioned in the very beginning of the Masechta not going into a ruin, and there the Gemara had mentioned because of Hashad and because of Apolis and because of Mazikin, and the issue of Mazikin came up in the context of numbers of people. How many people are in the Churba? Is it one? Is it two? And here we see a reference to that sugya, that with two people the demon will appear, but he won't render damage. The Shloisha, when you have three, Eino Nira Kolikur. So once you achieve three, he doesn't show up at all. Therefore, there's no need for four. The number four would be irrelevant in this particular discussion. Elolav Shmamino Avuka Kishnayim. When we say that the torch is like two, it is equals Behadi Didei Shmamino. The number is the number cited includes the person as well. The Omar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Omar Rav the Amri Law, another version of the names, Omar Rav Chona Bar Bizna, Omar Rav Shimon Chasido, the Amri Law, and still a third version of names, Omar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Shimon Choy Noach Lo Le'olam Shiapil Atzmo Tol Kishon Eish. It would be more simple, I'm hesitating to use the word pleasurable, but in the general scheme of things, when you take into consideration Olam Haba and punishments that one could receive there, so we'll use the word pleasurable. It's more pleasurable for a person to have himself thrown into a kivshanesh, into a fire, a furnace, and be cremated, v'al yalbin p'nei chaveru barabim, if the alternative is to cause his friend's embarrassment in public. In other words, if the choice is to be thrown into a fire or cause someone's yalbin p'nei chaveru, literally means whitening of the face, but it's a form of extreme shame, where a person is known, a person before he faints, you find he loses his color, so that if a person is, this is a level of shame that goes beyond simple embarrassment, where people may turn red. Here it's described as turning white out of extreme shame. This is a major offense in Judaism, to the extent that it's parallel to the three major offenses, Gilui Arayos, Shrichus Damim, and Avodah Zarah, where we say a person is supposed to sacrifice himself and not violate those. Here too, and this, some authorities explain, Meforshim say this is a form of Ritzich, of killing, we call Shvichus Damim, because his blood, his color, his normal pigmentation turns white, it leaves him, so it's like his blood is being spilled. It's a form of Shvichus Damim. So we say that a person should allow themselves to be killed and not cause someone else's embarrassment. And the source for this is, the Gemara asks, Minolan, from where do we know this? Mitomar, from Tamar, featured in Sefer Bereishis, who was the daughter-in-law of Yehuda, Shenemar, he mutseis v'chule. There, it's a rather elaborate story, but Yehuda had discovered that his daughter-in-law had been mezane, had done an act of intimacy outside the realm of marriage. It just so happened to be that that she could have, and he ruled that, oh, she was mezane, so have her thrown into the fire. So she could have easily saved herself by saying that you are the one that was mezane with me. But she didn't. She simply said that she had received items from him that could identify him, but she didn't identify him explicitly. She simply said that the items that I'm holding is the owner of them is the one with whom I had the intimacy. So if Yehuda had not acknowledged it, said Sotko Mimeni, if he had not acknowledged that he was the one, then she, if he would have remained silent, she would not have revealed that Yehuda was the one, and she would have been taken off to be executed in the fire. So from her, from Tamar, we learn this principle. Tanu Rabbanan. Before we go on, we have a topic heading which features some of the points of the upcoming Gemara. Number one, Machlikus Beishamis Hillel Bekedima Lebrachos Al Shemen V'Hadas. If a person has two items, fragrant oil and a hadas branch, a myrtle branch, which is also fragrant, which one should he give priority to with regard to a bracha? Second thing the Gemara will discuss is Machlokes Beisham Beisil Beeze Yad Machzikim Ayayin Beeze Yad Hashemen. In which hand should one hold these two items? Let us now turn to the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan Heviu Lefonav Shemen V'Hadas. At the end of a meal, a person was presented with oil and the Hadas. The oil, as far as Tosfos is concerned, is shemen lohoriachu. It's shemen for smelling. The Rashi says shemen v'hadas b'sof hasuda shemen losuch yodav la'avir zu'am asoichlim. A totally different approach. It's oil for use for cleaning one's hands with the oil. When one rubs his hands in oil, so any debris that's on his hands will be removed. So it's for oil for cleansing purposes. Tosfos does not like that pshat, because if the whole purpose of the oil is for removing zuama, in the eighth parak, it says that you don't make a brocha over something for that whose role is to remove dirt. So we'll work with Tosfos' pshat for right now. The oil is also for smelling purposes. Beis Shammai Omrim Mevorach al Hashemen V'Achakach Mevorach al Hadas. It might be also pointed out that apparently there's a different brocha for each one. The shemen we saw, the brocha of shemen orev, and the Hadasim would be Atzei Besomim. So there's an issue of two separate brachas. Which bracha do you say first? So Beis Shammai says you make the bracha on the oil first. Beis Hillel Omrim Mevorach al Hadas V'achakach Mevorach al Hashemen. The order just in the opposite. Omar Rabban Gamliel Ani Achria. I will weigh down one side and I will decide, and I will decide in favor of the Beis Shammai approach. Shemen zochinu l'recho v'zochinu l'sichoso. With regard to oil, we have two forms of benefit. We have its pleasant smell, and it also benefits us in l'sichoso. We anoint ourselves, we smear it on us, so it's a type of benefit that we have from it. By the way, you could see that there's a basis for Rashi's explanation in that oil is used for smearing. Just that Tosfos' objection to Rashi was that though it might be used for smearing, it's not used for, you don't make a brocha over that. The Hadas, on the other hand, is Lerecha Zochinu, Lesichoso Lo Zochinu. Therefore, the Shemen deserves priority. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Alocha Kedivrei Hamachria. We will paskin like the decider, namely Rabban Gamliel, who represents the opinion of Beis Shammai, but he is the deciding factor. Rav Papa, I mean, I think the significance between Rabbi Yochanan's comment here is that one would not say ordinarily the halacha kebeis Shammai. That's not normal or general or generally accepted. But you do have Rabbi Gamliel siding with that approach. So halacha kedivrei machria, and this concept of kedivrei machria is itself a broad concept in halacha, and is featured as a part of a discussion in a number of different Gemaras. Rav Papa ikla lebei Rav Huna brei de Rav Ika. Rav Papa is visiting Rav Huna. Aisu lekamayo shemen v'hadas. They were presented with these two items. Shoka Rav Papa baruch ahadas breisha. Father baruch shemen. What did Rav Papa do? He made a bracha first on the hadas, just like we saw Beis Hillel said, and then he made a bracha on the shemen. Amar le, so Rav Huna asks, Rav Huna was the host, Rav Huna Ravika, he asks, Lo Sovar Lomar, do you not hold the Halacha Divrei Machria, that we are to paskin like the Machria, where you have a machlokas and you have a third opinion that settles the matter in favor of one of the sides, that's the way we paskin. So don't you hold from that, and therefore the Shemen should have come first. Amalei, Hochi Amar Rava, Halacha Kebeis Hillel. So Rav Papa responded and said, but Rava says we are to rule like Beis Hillel. The next half of this line, or as the rest of this line, is subject of great discussion or controversy, is whether it's to be read or not. The Bach mentions that the Rif does not have the balance of this line in his text, and you'll see shortly why it's a difficult line, but there are others that do have it. So if we read the Gemara straight, the Gemara says, Velohi, this is not true. In other words, Rava never said the halacha was like Beis Hillel. Then why did Rav Papa say that? Lishtamute nafshe hu da'ovid. And we go right to Rashi. Velohi, Rashi says, Lo omar Rava chazik Beis Hillel. El Rav Papa ichsif. Ichsif means he was embarrassed. Lefi shetah. He made a mistake. He went like Beis Hillel when the halacha is like Rav Gamliel, like the Divrei Machria. The Hishmit atzmo b'kach, and he evaded the issue or attempted to avoid embarrassment. You know, having first realized that he made a mistake when they asked him, it's not like the Machria. So he said something that isn't true. And he used Hishmit atzmo b'kach to suggest that he lied. That would be too simplistic. We'll say we're dealing with world-class righteous individuals who are not known for lying. Therefore, if you take this approach and you use this girsa, which, by the way, this isn't the only place in Shas where this phenomenon happens. There's also a little there's a discussion in the early part of Maseches Erevin where this type of thing comes up, and there's a lot of discussion in Meforshim on this particular issue. So we continue in the Gemara, having said that little bit about this. Tano Rabbanon, Heviu Lifneim Shemen V'Yayin. Beishamarim Ochiz Hashemen V'Mino V'Zayayin V'Smolo. They were presented with oil and with wine. And the Rashi points out that when this Brisa says you mevorach on the Shemen, Rashi says Borei Shemen Orev. The Blessed Be He who creates the pleasant smelling oil. Um, The Gemara, let's from this beginning of the source, it says, we said they're presented with shemen and yayin. Beishamim uchis shemen b'yimino, v'shayayin b'smolo. You hold the oil in your right hand, and the wine in your left hand. Mevorach al ha-shemen. V'chozim vorach al ha-yayin. First on the oil, and then on the wine. It's interesting, by the way, that Beishamai in the source before also was giving priority to the oil. Beis Hillel Omrim, Ochez es hayayin v'mino, that's a shemen v'smolo, v'vorach al hayayin v'chozim v'vorach al hashemen. And the opposite order with regard to Beis Hillel. Now the oil, the tochoy b'roish hashamosh. And then you would take the oil and rub it in the head of the shamash, of the butler, the waiter that's serving you. Now, why would you do that? So Rashi says, "V'tocha b'rosh shamash, k'dei shelo yetze b'yolav mevusamos b'shuk," so that you shouldn't go out with your aroma-emitting hands. Shegnai hu l'talmid chacham. It's for a Torah scholar to walk out with perfumes with this extra fine smelling aroma is not the way of a Torah scholar. So therefore, rub your hands that have the oil in it. Rub it on the head of the shamash. V'im shamash talmid chacham hu. Let's say the one serving you happens himself to be a talmid chacham. And so he can't. He's not supposed to appear with this. So tochoy b'koysel, rub your hands on the wall to get the oil off of them after you enjoyed the smell. It's it's negative for a talmud chacham to go out into public with the aroma. Tonu Rabbanan. Here we have a source that lists six things that a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, should avoid. And by the way, this is not to be confused with, one shouldn't learn this Gemara and say, well, oh, well, the Talmud Chacham should walk out smelling really bad with a high level of body odor emitting from him. No, we're not saying that whatsoever. There's a big gap between being perfumed and cologned and being non-hygienic. So one should maintain proper hygiene, thereby avoiding negative odors. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that one is a Talmud Chacham we're talking about here. We're not saying that the Talmud Chacham should impose upon himself extra pleasant odors. Tonu Rabbanan. Shisha dvarim gnai lo l'talmud chacham. There are six things that are negative for a talmud chacham. One, al yetze kishuhu mevusam l'shuf. The first is the topic we were just discussing. You shouldn't go out with a cologne smell to him. Number two, v'al yetze yechidi b'layla. He should not go out in a solitary at night. The al yetsay b'min olam amutulayim. You shouldn't walk around with patched shoes. The al yisaper im isha bashuk. You shouldn't converse with a woman in public. The al yasev b'chabura shamaras. You should not literally recline, but it would mean to have a meal or sit in the company of ignoramuses. The al yikones b'achron leis amidrash. He shouldn't be the last one into the study hall, into where Torah is being studied. Maybe this could be associated also with a place of prayer, but that would require some further discussion. V'yeshomrim af lo yafsia psia gasa. Another thing that some add, he shouldn't take long strides. V'al yalech b'koim ezkufa, and he should not walk in an overly erect position. A koma's kufa would have to be would be associated with, as we say, overly erect, possibly nose in the air type posture. At this point, the Gemara now goes over these six things, and that's what we have these triangles for. And on the side, we have the noseim ivne pirut vehesber al shishad varm shugnai l'talmud chacham. This will take us down to the end of the omid. Al yetsay kishu mevusam l'shuk. Omar Now, so we're saying, at first glance, we're saying that a Talmud Chacham should not walk out with a cologne or aftershave. Om Rabbi Abba, Rei Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Om Rabbi Yochanan, he comes and qualifies this and says, B'mokom shechashivim al mishkav zohar. This is true, this restriction is true, in a place or in an area, a community where there is a suspicion, where suspicion arises over homosexual relations. The Rashi says, "Shechashim mishkav zochar mevasim atzim kadeshis avulhem." It's the way of homosexuals to, in fact, use cologne in order to attract their partners in crime. Therefore, one can, in learning this Gemara, could simply say, but we're not going to commit ourselves, but there's room to discuss. In Gemara markings, we attempt at all costs to avoid coming to halacha lemaisa conclusions, because that's not the purview of our shiur. Nevertheless, if there would be no suspicion of what we just described, so there would be no objection to the Talmud Chacham, to even a Talmud Chacham with the cologne. But, as we said, this requires more discussion. And the issue here of the cologne Talmud Chacham continues, Amar Rav Sheshes, Lo Amorin Elo Bebigdo. The objection is only when when this bosem is applied to his garments. The tendency there is the smell lasts a long time. Avo begufo zeo mabrele, if he applies it to his body, so the natural sweat will cause it to pass rather quickly. So there would be no objection to the cologne applied to his directly to his skin. Amar Rav Papa usairoi kebigdoi dummy, the Amri law kegufo dummy. What about rubbing it in his own hair? So there would be two lishonos here. He says, one says, in one's hair, it's like garment, which would be then prohibited. The other one is kegufo dummy, and it would be allowed. It's interesting, we had a Tanaic source before which said to rub it in the hair of the shamash, indicating not his own hair, which would seem to support more the first lashon here of Rav Papa. Al yetzi yichidi balayla. Why? Mishum chashoda. Person, a man, is seen walking, and here we're talking about a Talmud Chacham, is seen walking by himself at night. That arouses the chashad, the suspicion that maybe he has a woman on the side, a harlot. The loy amar, and once again, this is qualified, elo delo kavia le idna, that he doesn't have a fixed time for learning and looking at Rashi. He says, delo kavia le idna shelo kavoy loy raboy kvius le lamdoy belaylo. This is assuming that his Rebbe, his teacher, did not establish a fixed time for teaching him at night. Avol, the Gemara continues, Avol kvile idna, if he has his lesson with his teacher is established at night, may the idea the lidne cause of people will know that he's walking to his Torah learning session, and hence the objection to being yichidi b'layla would fall away. The next, v'al yetze b'minol metuol, not to Talmud Chacham should not walk with patched shoes. Mesayel Reb Chiya Bar Abba. This supports Reb Chiya's teaching. Gam Reb Chiya Bar Abba. Ginai hu l'Talmud Chacham shi'etzim minol ma'metuloyim. It is negative for a Talmud Chacham to be walking with patched shoes. The Gemara asks, ironically, says Amy, is that so? Reb Chiya Bar Abba nothing. Reb Chiya Bar Abba himself, who just quoted this point, who just authored this point, he walked with patched shoes. Amar Azuchi Breder of Nachman, Bitloy al Gabi Tloy. The objection is not a singular patch, but it's patches upon patches. Belo amoron elo bepanso. This objection is only when it's on the pansa part of the shoe, means on the top part of the shoe. Avo begilda less lonbo. But if it's on the sole of the shoe, if he had shoes that had repaired soles, then there is no objection. O bepanso lo amoron elo beurcha. The pansa, patched shoe, patsum means the top of the shoe with patches or a double patch on it, is objectionable only on the road, or means which might mean outdoors. Avo bevesa leslan ba, but in the privacy of his home, he wants to use, let's say, old patched shoes as house shoes, house slippers. That would be okay. In other words, the Gemara is pointing out that it's not something that's inherent in the shoe that is the problem, but it's rather the appearance that it creates to the public. But in the privacy of one's home, that consideration no longer plays a role. V'lo amoron ela b'yamois hachama. The objection to the double-patched top part of shoe is only during the non-rainy season, the Cham Yos Cham of the summer season, but during the rainy season where there's mud outdoors, Rashi says Hatit Mechaseu, the mud will cover it, so that whatever negative impression is caused by the patches won't be the case because the mud is covering it. The Al Yisaper Im Isha Bashuk, a Talmud Chacham should not converse with a woman in public. Omar Rav Chisda, v'afilu hi ishto. Rav Chisda goes quite a bit further and says it's not just any woman, not only a random, unrelated woman, but even one's own wife. Tanya nami hochi, and we have a Tanaic source that supports this, and you'll see how extensive this objection is. Afilu yishto, the objection to being misaprim isha bashuk is not only even if it's his wife. Afilu yipito, afilu yachoso, the fisha ein hakol b'kiim b'krovosov, because you can't expect the public to be knowledgeable or expert in who his relatives are. So that the basic objection is the Talmud Chacham conversing in a very public setting with a woman is something that we'll say smacks of immodesty. We can't say that immodesty is modesty is violated when one speaks to his own wife. However, the problem is the impression created on the part of the public. They don't know that that's his wife. And I was thinking that if you look at the progression of women in this particular source, the last one, like the most extreme one, even one's own sister. Well, why would that be? Why wouldn't you say that the progression should conclude with even one's own wife? So the thought that came to me is that as far as public is concerned, the more similar the woman might look to the man, the less chance of people misconstruing the conversation. And as far as biologically speaking, the sister would be the one who would probably look most similar to the man, to the Talmud Chacham, being that they come from the same two sets of parents. The mother and father produced each one of them, giving rise to the likelihood of most similar appearance. And even so, you can't expect the public to notice these things and come to the conclusions. Hence, the Talmud Chacham should avoid conversing with all women in a public or in a shuk, which represents a very public setting. The Al Yasei B'chaburo Shalmei Oretz, my taima. What is the problem with the Talmud Chacham keeping company in a group of ignoramuses? Dilma Osi Limshuchi Basrael. There is the fear that he may come to be drawn after them. And for greater discussion on this topic, we highly recommend looking at the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zorah, which mentions how there the Gemara discusses the topic of leitzonis, of frivolous behavior, of lightheadedness and foolish laughter, and all that's associated with that area, and mentions basically the Gemara there citing the very first pasuk in Sefer Tehillim, which says, "Ashrei ish asher lo holach ba'atzus v'shem derech hatoyim lo omer v'moshev leitzim lo yoshav." The Gemara there says, asks the question of the order of the pasuk is "Ashrei adam asher ish asher lo holach." He didn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, and he didn't stand in the company of sinners. Well, if why would it say first he doesn't walk and then say he doesn't stand? It would, if he doesn't walk, of course he's not standing. You have to, and it goes on to say he doesn't sit. So if he's not even standing, he's certainly not going to come to sit. So the Gemara there explains this very point, how one should avoid even limited contact, because the limited contact leads to greater contact, which eventually leads to complete contact. And this is the problem here of Amshuchi Basrayo, the tendency to be drawn after them. And one sees something very interesting here in terms of human nature and the effect of the Leitzonus, how strong it is. After all, we're describing a Talmud Chacham, a person who's a Torah scholar, and yet he can't rely on that. Therefore, we have these defenses built in, and that is to, one should avoid keeping extensive company with those kind of people that engage in lightheadedness and frivolity, because it's a very strong force. And that's represented by Ame Horetz, the ignoramuses. V'al yikones achrona lebeis hamedrash. Person should not be the last one into the base medrash, the study hall. Mishum de korule otzel. There is the original girsa of the Gemara is poshea, meaning they'll call him a sinner. But the other girsa of the Baal Shal quotes as otzel. They call him the lazy one. You know, he who shows up last is associated with laziness. This idea is reflected also in Maseches Psochim, which features the offering of the Korban Pesach which was offered by the nation of Israel, but it was offered in three different shifts, and the last shift, the last group, were called the Kat Atzlonim, so that this concept of being the last or the latest one, and the terminology of the lazy one, you see precedent for that. V'yesh omrim, it was mentioned in the original source, the following, afloy af siapsi agasa, one, a Talmud Chacham, should avoid elongated or large strides. The omer mar psi agasa, that tells achas mi chamesh meis mi mor enof shel odom, that large strides reduce a person's eyesight by 1/500. My tatante, well, let's say one did that. What solution exists for him? The hadre bekidusha de bei shimshi. He can restore it by drinking the wine of kiddush made Friday night. The al yalech bekoyim zekufa, not to walk in an overly erect posture. The omar mar hamahalech bekoyim zekufa, one who walks in this haughty or overly erect posture, afilu arba amos, even for a mere 4 amos of distance, kilu deichik ragle shchina, it's as if he's casting aside the feet of the divine presence. Tichtiv moloi chol haaretz kavodo, the divine presence fills the world, so that a person who walks in an overly haughty posture is as if he's pushing it away. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.